A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing on the journey but a walking stick, no food, no traveling bag, not a coin in the purses in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals. Do not bring a second tunic, he said, and added, whatever house you find yourself in, stay there until you leave the locality. If any place will not receive you or hear you, shake its dust from your feet in testimony against them as you leave. With that, they went out, preaching the word, preaching the need of repentance. They expelled many demons, anointed the sick with oil, and worked many cures. The Gospel of the Lord. I do quite a bit of itinerant preaching, going from town to town, begging for the poor. I do not leave the house without my wallet. Once I forgot it. When I got to the airport, I couldn't board the plane without my driver's license, which was in the wallet. No one can travel any distance today and follow Jesus' instructions in this reading to the letter. What are we as contemporary preachers to make of Jesus' insistence on taking nothing with us? Last Sunday's reading from the Gospel according to Matthew helps me find an answer to that question. You will recall that it told of Matthew's version of Jesus' initial sermon about the ways of blessedness. It isn't a list of laws, as the Jews had received from Moses. In fact, looking at the ways Jesus points out as leading to a blessed life, you have to come to the conclusion that no one, on his or her own, could achieve blessing by following these guidelines. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means not only having little in the way of material goods, but not wanting to have them. God created us to live in a material universe. We need food. We need shelter. We need the wherewithal to stay alive. Blessed are they who mourn. We mourn because we lack something or someone we consider is important to our well-being. Mourning is a necessary part of life. But should we seek to be separated from what we consider an important component to a flourishing life? Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of justice. Are we to seek out and revel in persecution in order to achieve a blessed state? The Beatitudes are not commandments telling us what we ought to do. They point to the fact that to be blessed in Jesus' kingdom, we must place our reliance in something more than we can accomplish by ourselves, in someone who can help us attain what is beyond our own ability to achieve. To reach the blessedness Jesus promises, we must place our whole trust in someone other than ourselves. We must place our faith and hope in God, the Father of Jesus, upon whom he relied. That is what Jesus is demanding of his disciples, that for the success of their mission, they rely not on themselves and what they can take with them, but on the power of the one who sends them. When I preach for the poor, I do not go without ID and a ticket to where I am assigned to preach. But these do not guarantee the success of my appeal. Neither, for that matter, is the way in which I prepare my sermon. These are essential for accomplishing the mission, but they in no way guarantee the results. Arriving at my destination and preaching essentially the same message week after week, I never know what the results will be. Sometimes I'm astounded by people's generosity. Other times, I'm disappointed to receive barely enough to pay my expenses in getting to the parish and back. There are many variables from place to place. But to me, this experience points to the fact that the results of any preaching are dependent upon God's work, not mine. That dependence on God should be the hallmark of a disciple of Jesus is hardly surprising. Jesus' career can be viewed as a colossal failure. A gifted speaker, teacher, and healer came to a disgraceful death after only 3 years, a death brought on by his failure to win the hearts and the minds of the important people of his time, the people who made the decisions about life and death. His ultimate victory and resurrection from the dead was entirely God's doing. Today, Jesus teaches his disciples and us that it must be the same with our mission to proclaim his good news. The first reading from the letter to the Hebrews points to the superiority of his covenant to the previous covenant dedicated with the blood of animals. Jesus established his covenant through the shedding of his own blood, a sign of human defeat. The power of that covenant lies in Jesus only insofar as he is the God who raised his mortal body from death. We are called to follow him by giving ourselves as completely as we can, knowing that it is God alone who can and will give success to the work of our hands and the words of our mouths.